ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 5 as we continue our study through the book of Judges. And we're currently in a section that's called the Song of Deborah and Barak. And it's a song of praise unto God for the victory that God had given them over Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. And we began our look at this song last week in our first study, and we looked at when leaders lead. And the idea here is, you know, getting people to follow you as you follow the Lord. You see, a good leader is not going to get people just to follow them. In fact, that's a dangerous thing to do. And the reason being is if they're not following the Lord, then as you follow them, they're going to be taking you away from the Lord. There's a lot of people who do that. It's all about them and where they're going. But if the Lord is leading them and you follow them, then they're going to take you in the path that God wants you to go. And we saw that with Barak as he got the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali to follow him into battle. That was the direction that God was leading them. And the bottom line is this. You know, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and he is leading us. And we need to follow his direction. Work together for the betterment of the body of Christ to minister to others. And when that's happening, when we're working together and not apart, things get done and God is glorified. And as I said last week, you know, I've seen that here at Calvary Chapel, and it blesses me. I see how people are looking out for each other, caring for each other, meeting the needs of each other. And in the end, God is glorified. And that's really what it's about. This morning, as we continue in our study of the Song of Deborah and Barak, we're going to be looking at the topic, Remember God. Now, it almost sounds funny. I mean, how do you forget about God, right? And the reality is, there are times in our daily lives that we forget about God, and really our witness of God is lost. I don't know about you, but I know for me, as I get older, I tend to forget things. And you know what I mean. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you are younger. You don't know that yet. You'll find out. In fact, several weeks back, Fred and I were talking, and he says, you know, as he gets older, there's two things that he noticed. As he gets older, this is what happens. One of the things is that you become more forgetful. And he said the other thing is, well, he couldn't remember. How true that is. Let me share this with you, and then I'll deal with the outline of the verses we're going to be looking at this morning. But it's about a very popular motivational speaker who was entertaining his audience. And he said, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife. I mean, the audience was in silence. They were shocked. And the speaker then added, and that woman was my mother. Laughter and applause. Everyone was at ease. Well, you know, a week later, one of the top managers trained by this motivational speaker tried to crack this very effective joke at home during a small party. He was a little bit foggy. He had a couple drinks, you know. He wasn't thinking real too clearly. And he said loudly, the greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife. Well, the wife, you can imagine, was red and in shock. She was devastated. And he was standing there for 20 seconds trying to recall the second half of the joke. And the guests weren't saying a word. They're like, their mouths are hanging open. And he finally blurted out, and I can't remember who she was. Well, that didn't help at all, did it? You need to remember the joke, right? This morning, we're going to look at that we need to remember the Lord. Keep him in front of our lives each and every day. And I've kind of broken these verses here in Judges chapter 5 into two main points. And the first one is, let the whole world know. And that's for Judges 5, verse 3. And then remember and see in Judges 4 and 5. So with the remainder of our time this morning, we're going to look at those two points. And we're going to pick up in Judges chapter 5. I'm just going to start in verse 1, and even though our focus is going to be verses 3 through 5. And this is what we're told. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. Now, here in verse 3, let me just share this again with you, where it says, hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. The enemy has had the children of Israel in bondage for 20 years now. There was no way out for them in this situation. In fact, the king, Jabin, had 900 chariots of iron, very impressive war machines. And I shared this with you before, but these chariots had platforms for a driver, a javelin thrower, and an archer. And on the wheels of the chariot were blades so that as you got too close to the chariot, your legs would be cut off. So they had some 900 chariots, a very impressive army. Jabin's standing army is given by Josephus as 300,000 footmen and 10,000 horsemen. Very impressive. And so when you look at these numbers and you see the force that Jabin had, there is no way the children of Israel could mount an assault against them and gain their freedom. But things have changed. It was not the children of Israel who were going to obtain this victory. It was going to be the Lord working through them. Remember what we were told in Judges 4, verses 6 and 7. Then she, Deborah, sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. You see, God had already given them the victory. They needed to walk by faith, and as they did, they would see how God would deliver them from the bondage that they were in, and he did. It's out of that we read here in verse 3 of Judges 5, hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. What's the point? Well, remember our first point, let the whole world know. You see, they repented before the Lord. God raised up a judge by the name of Deborah, and God gave them this great victory. Now they're shouting for joy, and they're letting the world know what God has done. Not what they have done, but what God has done. And for us, it's our witness of the Lord and all that he's done in our lives. But here's what can happen. We can become so focused on self that we miss out on all that God has done and is doing in our lives. God is constantly working in us and through us, but many times we don't see it because we let other things get in our way or distract us from what God is doing. I've told you before, you know, before I got saved, I was living in Illinois. I would drive to work every day, and I would go from point A to point B. That was it. I didn't see anything else. I got to get to work. I got to get home from work. That was it. After I got saved, God did an amazing thing in me. I started looking around. Even in Illinois, I'd see deer. I'd see different birds. They were always there, but I didn't see it because I was so distracted. I was so focused on everything else except what was all around me. And here's the thing. I mean, even Barak did not want to go into battle, right? Even though Deborah said, God's giving you this victory, Deborah reminded Barak of what God already told him. But because of his lack of faith, he said, look, I'll go to battle, but Deborah, you need to come with us. And the Lord said through Deborah that because of this, you're not going to get the victory. You're not going to get the glory. A woman's going to get it. And that's what happened. Deborah and really Jael, who killed the commander of the army, Sisera, they got the glory. Barak could have complained. He could have been bitter in the situation. He could have been angry, even though it was his own fault. But it's not what he did. And that's what I love about this. It's amazing. He, along with Deborah, wrote this song of praise and thanksgiving unto God for the victory he had given them. And this song was not just for Israel. It was not for those who were in the battle just. It was for everyone to hear how great God is. Years ago, there was a song by De Guillermo and Key, and I'm kind of probably dating myself here, but it was probably from the late, 70s, 80s, probably 80s, probably in the 80s sometime, called Let the Whole World Sing. And I'll just share some of the words from it. It goes like this: from the beginning you spoke the word, and from creation your song was heard. You taught the stars in the sky to sing. Almighty Father, let everything you've made give praises to your holy name. Let everything on earth proclaim. Let the whole world sing, sing hallelujah to the King. Let the whole world sing, lift up your voices, let them ring, let them ring. The angels came to announce his birth, a Savior born to redeem the earth. The sky was darkened when Jesus died. Creation watched as he was sacrificed for me, and yet he rolled the stone away, triumphant over death and grave. All of my life I looked for the reason you created me. I realized my life was given just to sing a song of praise to thee. Let the whole world sing, sing hallelujah to the King. Let the whole world sing, lift up your voices, let them ring, let them ring. And that's what the reality of our lives should be. Singing praises unto God. Maybe not audibly singing, but how we live out our faith. Why? Well, there's a few reasons why we should be living a life as a Christian with joy overflowing in our lives, with a song that bursts forth from our lives. The first reason is really pretty basic. God is God. He deserves our worship because he is God. Listen to what we're told in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 about our God and that he's worthy of worship. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Here we see David give the command, you might say, to praise the Lord, and not just the Jewish people, but all the earth. Why? Because there is no other God besides the Lord. We're to worship him in the beauty of his holiness, not in some building or temple, but with our lives. The beauty of his holiness, who he is. And I guess, let me just put this in perspective for you, because there's only one true God, and many miss that today. Even some who call themselves Christians believe there are many roads to God. There's not. There's one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name given under heaven that has been given under heaven by which we must be saved, Peter said in Acts 4:12. Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Commentary put it like this. Some people object to Christianity's claim that its God is the one true God. But the Bible states emphatically that the Lord is above all other gods, which are idols. He alone deserves worship, for he is the creator and sustainer of life. Most ancient cultures worshipped many gods, almost all of which were associated with nature. For example, the gods of the Canaanites were part of what was essentially a fertility cult designed to increase their harvests and the birth rate of their women. The Hebrews were virtually unique in their belief in one supreme God. Today, too, people worship and serve a variety of gods as well as a variety of often conflicting ideas about God. Meanwhile, the belief that there is one supreme God seems to be less and less popular, especially in an age that holds tolerance and religious pluralism to be among the highest of values. Yet God has not changed. He still invites, indeed commands, all the families of the world to give him glory, do his name. Doing so need not to be a statement of intolerance, simply a response to what is true. That's reality. If there is only one true God, and there is, then that's just the reality. Now, people could accept it or reject it, but it doesn't change the fact of the matter. There is one true living God, and he desires our worship. Well, another reason we should worship the Lord is because of all that he's done for us. Now, think about it. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. There was no way out. We were headed for hell, and we couldn't escape that reality no matter how hard we tried. And people do that today. They try to be a good person. They try to do this. They go to church. They give to the church. They do this. They do that. How do you atone for your sins? In fact, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it's not your blood that could be shed that could atone for your sins, because you are a sinner. And for the sacrifice, it has to be perfect, without spot or blemish. No inherited sin, and no acquired sin. We inherited sin from Adam. We have plenty of our own acquired sin. So we couldn't atone for our sin, but there was one, Jesus, who did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I love that so much. Some teachers today, they want to condemn and condemn and condemn you. God says, look, I didn't send my Son in the world to condemn you guys, especially the lost, right? Christians love condemning the lost. Look at what they're doing. They're so horrible. That's their nature. We were there. God didn't send the Son in the world to condemn them, but to save them. And they need to hear about Jesus. Now, yes, sometimes, most of the time, it's the love of Christ that draws people. But sometimes, it's letting them know that they're dangling over the fires of hell on a bridge of ice, like was given in the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That was the picture he was portraying. But God's love for sinful man, wow, incredible. Now, in knowing that, what God has done for us, doesn't he deserve our praise and worship? And we lose sight of that. How? How do we lose sight of that? Because we let so many other things get in the way. I've got this problem here and that problem there and this problem and that problem. And it is incredible because the problems are very real many times. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just imagined problems. But many times the issues are very, very real in our lives. But the fact of the matter is, God saved us, and we should worship him. In fact, Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Man, instead of being eternally separated from God, Jesus has set us free, and we're going to spend eternal life with him. And here's the thing. When it comes to worship, we've lost sight of really what worship is today. It's bowing down, paying homage, respect to someone. But we lost sight of that fact, you know? And we tend to think, well, worship is just singing on Sunday mornings or Thursday evenings or whenever we get together and we sing and we worship God. That's part of worship, but that's not all of worship. That's just a small part. There's much more to it. Here's the thing. Worship is not about you. It's about God, okay? And it's not about how I feel. Oh, I didn't like worship this morning. Oh, I can't worship unless it's done professionally or this or that, you know. And I've heard people say things like that. It's really not about the fact that you can't worship God. It's the fact that you won't because you just don't feel it. Well, you know what? You know, when I was working outside the church, there were many times I didn't feel like going to work. And I did. Because my response is, hey, first of all, I'm accountable to these people at work, my boss, and the patients I would be taking care of. Secondly, I'm accountable to God. We don't need for worship up here, you know, 12 people. We don't need all kinds of instruments. You can sing a cappella. You can use a CD if you have to. You don't need all that stuff. What you need is a heart that is open to worship the true and living God. And worship is about our lives. It's placing our lives on the altar of sacrifice. That's what Paul said in Hebrews 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. You see, it's more than just singing songs unto God. It's our whole lives, laying them on the altar of sacrifice, a living sacrifice, saying, here I am, Lord. Lord, I'm here for you to use me the way you want, not the way I want. But how often do we, you know, get up and say, okay, this is what I am going to do? It's really, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I've learned over the years, when I first came up here and I was working, you know, here at the church and out, and full-time outside the church and trying to get things done and getting the studies done and trying to raise a young family, I was busy. And there were times that people would call. I go, gosh, don't they know I'm busy? And you know, the Lord is really kind and gentle and gracious and merciful. And he's like, Joe, aren't you here for the people? I mean, isn't that the whole reason that you're to be ministering to them? And, you know, it's kind of like when he gets you and you know it. And there's like nothing you can, I mean, what can I say? Okay, Lord, you can interrupt my day anytime you want, because I know you will give me the time I need to accomplish what I need to do. Not necessarily what I want to do, but what you want me to do. So I'm going to be open to you and I'm going to let you work. And that's what we need to do. And then you could praise the Lord. Your life is worshiping him. Remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, the 24 elders, which I believe are representative of the church, they're before the Lord. And this is what it says in verses 10 and 11 from the King James Version. The 24 elders fall down before him, before the Lord that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you realize you were created for the pleasure of God? To honor him. And there is nothing more satisfying than serving the Lord. We get very frustrated when we try to do things that God doesn't want us to do. I mean, have you ever tried to cut a piece of wood with a hammer and a screwdriver? It doesn't work. It's frustrating. That's not what they were created for. And I think the same is true for us. We were created to bring praise and glory to God. Let him use you. Be open to what he's showing you. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's just loving God. You know, I'm blown away how God can use someone like me. I was not very good in school. I was horrible in school, actually. I don't know if I ever read a complete book in high school, because I just didn't care. And, you know, my counselor said, well, you probably should just go to a 2-year school because you can never make it in a 4-year school. He was kind of my encourager, you know. Hey, thanks, buddy. But as I got out on my own, God was so gracious and merciful that the teachers I had in college always wanted to talk with me. They were always open to questions, where after class I'd get together with them, and God guided me, I believe, into the nursing profession. I think that's where he wanted me. Why? Because I think he wanted me to learn how to be compassionate towards people, not only the patients I was caring for, but their families in very, very difficult situations. I look back on that and I go, wow, I don't know why I went into nursing. I was going to be an x-ray tech, you know, I was going to take x-rays. And for some reason, God just steered me in another direction. When I first got out of high school, that's where I went to. I went to St. Joseph Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona, Barrows Neurological Institute. And I was, that back then, that's when you had to develop the x-rays. And I would do that. I was 17 years old. And I was thinking, this is what I'm going to do for a living. And all of a sudden, and I had no idea, I didn't believe in God, but all of a sudden I got directed to be an orderly. And then my plans, well, I worked on a neuro unit. I loved it. They let me work in a step-down ICU unit for neurology patients. I loved it. They let me do all kinds of things. It was incredible, the things I'm learning. Neurology is the place to be. That's what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, my wife and we moved to Illinois. And the only place I could get a job was at Holy Family Hospital in Illinois. And I had to work on a cardiac, a heart unit, step-down unit. And all of a sudden, God directed me again. And I see his hand upon my life. And all I could do is praise him and thank him. And that's hopefully what I'm sharing with you this morning, is take an inventory of your life and see the hand of God upon it. Because as you do, you go, wow, Lord. You were there all the way. Yeah, I tried to go some different directions, but you got me back on track. And all I can do is praise you and worship you. And I want others to know. My story of how I got up here to be a pastor of this church in Illinois, I still share it with people. Why? Because it's a witness of the power of God, what he can do, how he could take someone from Illinois and bring them to Wisconsin and tell them 10, 11 years ahead of time that he's going to do it before he actually does it. It's the power of God, and he gets the glory. I can't say, you know, I came up with this wonderful plan to move to Wisconsin, and I worked this out. No, I had no clue how God was going to do it, and he did. And so he gets the glory, and that's the way it should be. He gets the praise. Our lives need to be filled with the worship of God. And, you know, as we live that kind of life, people will take notice, and they'll see the love of God that we have. It's a witness.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.